Well, welcome again. I'm so glad you are here this morning. Sanctuary is here to be a place of refuge for a lot of people. Sometimes we've had experiences in churches in the past that have not gone well. And so we are here to allow you a place to safely explore your faith and to encounter God and however that looks. Because sometimes we need God to do a work in us, and we can't have people telling us stuff. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to do that work in us. And so this is a place for you to come and encounter God and be encouraged. And we want to exhibit that radical hospitality on all levels here for our kids and for the adults and for everyone here, that you know that you have a place where you are welcome. So today we're in Galatians 5. And I entitled this message, Juggling Fruit. I'll get to that in a moment. So we've been talking for the past 4 weeks about what it looks like to be free in Christ, to be not under the law, and to understand that is for freedom that Christ has set us free, and that we have this grace, this extension of God's grace to us. And as we receive that in faith, this belief that Jesus Christ died for our sins and was resurrected and raised again, and that we have this hope of eternal life in Him, this freedom that we have is not from what we do or what we can accomplish, but what God has accomplished on the cross. Amen. And so we're reading Galatians 5. Remember last week I had said we did a teaching, and just to kind of mix things up again. So today I'm going to read from a completely different version today. Anybody like the Message? Anybody have a Message Bible? If not, you can get it on your YouVersion Bible app. Right, Mary? That's her favorite. And I'm going to read the whole chapter in the Message translation. And it goes like this. Excuse me, so sorry. Christ is... Sorry. Galatians 5. So you can still follow along in your version too, and then you can see how it opens it up, okay? It goes like this in verse 1, Christ has set us free to live a free life. So take your stand. Never again let anyone put a harness of slavery on you. I am emphatic about this. The moment any one of you submits to circumcision or any other rule-keeping system, at that same moment, Christ's hard-won gift of freedom is squandered. I repeat my warning. The person who accepts the ways of circumcision trades all the advantages of the free life in Christ for the obligations of the slave life of the law. I suspect you would never intend this, but this is what happens. When you attempt to live by your own religious plans and projects, you are cut off from Christ. You fall out of grace. Meanwhile, we especially wait for a satisfying relationship with the Spirit. For in Christ, neither our most conscientious religion nor disregard of religion amounts to anything. What matters is something far more interior, faith expressed in love. You are running superbly. Who cut in on you, deflecting you from the true course of obedience? This detour doesn't come from the one who called you into the race in the first place, and please don't toss this off as insignificant. It only takes a minute amount of yeast, you know, to permeate an entire loaf of bread. Deep down, the Master has given me confidence that you will not defect, but the one who is upsetting you, whoever he is, will bear the divine judgment. As for the rumor that I continue to preach the ways of circumcision, as I did in these pre-Damascus road days, that is absurd. Why would I still be persecuted then? If I were preaching that old message, no one would be offended if I mentioned the cross now and then. It would be so watered down, it wouldn't matter one way or the other. Why don't these agitators, obsessive as they are about circumcision, go all the way and castrate themselves? It is absolutely clear that God has called you to a free life. Just make sure that you don't use this freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want to do and destroy your freedom. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another in love. That's how freedom grows. For everything we know about God's word is summed up in a single sentence. Love others as you love yourself. That's an act of true freedom. If you bite and ravage each other, watch out. In no time at all, you will be annihilating each other. And where will your precious freedom be then? My counsel is this: live freely animated and motivated by God's Spirit, then you won't feed the compulsions of selfishness. For there is a root of sinful self-interest in us that is at odds with a free spirit, just as the free spirit is incompatible with selfishness. These two ways of life are antithetical, so that you cannot live at times one way and at times another way according to how you feel on any given day. Why don't you choose to be led by the Spirit and so escape the erratic compulsions of a law-dominated existence? It is obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time. Repetitive, loveless, cheap sex, a stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage, frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness, trinket gods, magic show religion, paranoid loneliness, cutthroat competition, all-consuming yet never satisfied wants, a brutal temper, an impotence to love or be loved, divided homes and divided lives, small-minded and lopsided pursuits, the vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival, uncontrolled and uncontrollable addictions, ugly parodies of community. I could go on. This isn't the first time I've warned you, you know. If you use your freedom this way, you will not inherit God's kingdom. But what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. Legalism is helpless in bringing this about. It only gets in the way. Among those who belong to Christ, everything connected with getting our own way and mindlessly responding to what everyone else calls necessities is killed off for good. Crucified. Since this is the kind of life we have chosen, the life of the Spirit, let us make sure that we do not just hold it as an idea in our heads or a sentiment in our hearts, but work out its implications in every detail of our lives. That means we will not compare ourselves with each other as if one of us were better and another worse. We have far more interesting things to do with our lives. Each of us is an original. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, O Lord, for this wonderful and beautiful word that speaks to life and the Spirit and the freedom that is contained in that, God. And I pray, Lord, that as we hear this word today and as it is going forth, Lord, that it would bear fruit in these lives, the fruit of the Spirit, God, in everyone that's in the sound of my voice. And I thank you in advance in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Anyone ever see a juggler? I know in America's Got Talent, there's inevitably like always, oh, are you a juggler? Awesome. So I'm going to make a fool out of myself this morning, okay? So has anybody ever tried to juggle that it's never juggled before? Well, okay, you've succeeded in learning how to juggle, Nate. But the only thing that I've been able to come to at some point is to do this. Right? There's two things that I can juggle pretty safely without it getting into trouble. I think if I tried to add a third, it would complicate things because I don't know how to juggle. Has anybody else tried that before? You have two things and you kind of toss them and you can juggle and you feel like you're juggling and succeeding at it, right? Sometimes we can become very adept at juggling fruit, Sarah. Right, Xander? Very adept at juggling fruit. Galatians 5, 16 through 18. So I'm going to do the last half of the passage that we just did. And it all makes sense in a moment when I talk about juggling fruit. Paul says this to the Galatian church. My counsel is this. Live freely, animated and motivated by God's Spirit. Then you won't feed the compulsions of selfishness. For there's a root of sinful self-interest in us that is at odds with a free spirit. Just as the free spirit is incompatible with selfishness, these two ways of life are antithetical, he goes on to say. Why don't you just choose to be led by the Spirit? So just prior to this passage, earlier in Galatians 5, we're told that we need to love one another. And Jesus had addressed this when he was asked what the greatest commandment, right? Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? And he says, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And then he goes on to say, though, A second is equally important, right? They tried to catch him, and he said, no, this is the first one, but this one is just as important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. And so in this section, we can see that a life lived in the flesh, as Paul is talking about it, cannot, does not allow us to live in the Spirit, right? He's calling us, give up all this way of the flesh and live by ways of the Spirit. It's impossible to live both. And he goes on to say that the flesh refers to that self-interest that serves only one person, right? That would admit that it's not just about this flesh. When we live in the flesh, the worldly part, it all becomes centered on ourselves. Have anybody in your life that's like that? As you watch them and how they exist, you go, oh my word, this person is totally absorbed with themselves. That's all that they see. That's all they're considered about. So that means that this person is not necessarily operating in the Spirit, because that self-interest has taken over. It's impossible to love others if we are only concerned for ourselves. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't love others under this kind of bizarre spirit of manipulation, right? Love others for what we might receive in return, but that's not true love. That's not self-sacrificing love. It's a love that's still based in self-interest. So that's not the essence of true love. The love that Jesus reveals to us is self-sacrificing, right? If we know the history of Jesus and his story and how he went to the cross for our sins, that it's complete dying to self, putting others first. He was mindful of us as he took our sins upon him on the cross. Paul says in this passage that the two cannot exist in the same person. Can you be in two places at once? Actually, you can. Has anybody ever been on like a state line or something like that? Or, okay, so you know where the state line is, and you gotta go. And like, I'm in New Hampshire here, and I'm in Massachusetts here. Okay, so I'm not talking about that. Actually, to truly be in two places at once, can you live then two ways at once? If we can't be two places at once, it really is impossible to live two ways at once. Live according to the flesh and according to the Spirit. Amen? And whether or not you can, should you? Should you? What happens if we turn from this life in the Spirit back to the law? Now, they were talking all about circumcision, right? The whole thing about the Jewish law. And the men go, eh. We talked about that a couple weeks ago, right? That it was much better now under the New Testament, that the sign and symbol of life in Christ is baptism. Much less scary for the men. Amen. So, we mentioned last week, we deny the power of the resurrection, right? When we turn our backs on the Spirit, when we turn our backs on grace and faith and life in the Spirit, we are essentially denying the power of the resurrection. Remember, we talked about that. That same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. And once you get a hold of that, it's truly hard to go back. But if people didn't go back, we wouldn't have passages like this. This is 2 Peter chapter 2. And Peter goes on to say, "And when people escape from the wickedness of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and then get tangled up and enslaved by sin again, they are worse off than before. It would be better if they had never known the right way to righteousness than to know it and reject the command they were given to live a holy life. They prove the truth of this proverb, 'A dog returns to its vomit.'" Anybody ever experienced that with your dog? It's a true statement, isn't it? As much as it's horrifying and horrible to look at, a dog will return to its vomit. And then he goes on to say, "A washed pig returns to the mud." Tom likes to say it's like putting lipstick on a pig. You can only dress up things so much, and the truth, the reality of who they are, comes out ultimately. You cannot be living a life in the Spirit and be ruled by the flesh. Goes on to say, "Then we begin to serve self instead of others. So without this true gospel, we can easily fall back into our old way. Paul addresses this here as he goes on in chapter 5. And this is what he talks about, this fruit of the old man, the fruit of the flesh. All right? So I have two oranges. I should have had two different fruit. I'm sorry. So here's number one. Number one is going to be fruit of the flesh. And I'll read it out to you again. It's obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time. Repetitive, loveless, cheap sex, a stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage. Anybody been there where you have a lot of emotional garbage? Right? Sometimes that happens, and it's because people like to pour their garbage on you. Anybody have, you know, they pour their stinking garbage on you? Okay. Frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness. Trinket gods, magic show religion. Paranoid loneliness, cutthroat competition. All-consuming yet never satisfied wants, a brutal temper, an impotence to love or be loved, divided homes and divided lives, small-minded and lopsided pursuits, the vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival, uncontrolled and uncontrollable addictions, ugly parodies of community. I could go on, he says. I could go on. This means that this list is just representative, right? It's not exhaustive. There's even more things that come from a life that is focused on the flesh. Are there any others that you could think of? When you think about being, you know, just pulled away from a life in the spirit, maybe things you see in others or when you look in the mirror yourself, things you know that you struggle with. Well, the good news, right? Because that's what this is all about, right? We're talking about Jesus and the good news of the New Testament, the good news, the gospel, the true gospel, not this gospel of works, but by faith, is that this does not have to be. This life dictated and ruled by the flesh does not have to be, because if we are free, and we're also told in Scripture that those that the Son sets free are free, indeed, absolutely, then we are free to choose to live according to the Spirit, right? God gives you free will. We have free will in our lives, and that allows us to choose the right way. It allows us to choose a life in the Spirit versus a life in the flesh. So here's my other orange. This is the other fruit, all right? We have one. Should make this one ugly. Yeah, I know. Artists among us, you want to make this an ugly orange? Fruit of the flesh, all those, that nasty little list that he talked about. And then we have fruit of the Spirit. What happens when we live God's way? Well, he brings gifts into our lives. Hallelujah, right? The more you align yourself with God's Spirit and God's call, you can see how things change in your life. He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. The thing that I love about the spring, when I walk around in the spring, I'm like giddy like a little girl. When I walk around and I see the buds and the things coming out, and you're just excited for what is coming forth in the spring, the things that are budding, the fruits that are coming, the flowers that are budding. In the same way, when we start seeing the fruits of the Spirit revealed in somebody's life, it gives you the same joy. You can say, wow, that person used to be so angry, and now they have such a peace about him. This beautiful fruit of the Spirit starts to come out. And he goes on to say things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity, right? Who needs peace? That serenity that covers our lives. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. That means we're looking at people with God eyes. We're not looking in judgment, but we're looking at each other and realizing that the Spirit of God is in them. They are created in the image of God. We love the way that God loves. And we find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not because we have to, but because we want to, right? Serving the Lord because we want to, because that relationship, that love that we have for God calls us to continue to love back. Not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. Again, this the same fruit of the Spirit that we talk about is not exhaustive. It's just representative because there's so much more. Think about, if anybody you can think about in your life that truly you know is walking in the Spirit, completely just following after the Lord, don't you see this fruit in their lives? Don't you see the changes? And that's what we want for ourselves, to deny this fruit and pick up this fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. This fruit we are to be displaying in our lives, lives that are surrendered to the Spirit and not stuck in legalism, because legalism has no power. Okay, again, I want you to listen to Paul. He says, legalism is helpless in bringing this about. Say helpless. Helpless. Legalism is helpless in bringing this about. It only gets in the way. Among those who belong to Christ, everything connected with getting our own way and mindlessly responding to what everyone else calls necessities is killed off for God, good, crucified. All right? So we have this old man that is dead and then alive, a new man in Christ, right? The old is crucified. When we talk about everything that Christ took on the cross, the old man and all of that, the things about the flesh are crucified if we walk in it. And when we decide to pick up the wrong fruit, it's essentially like we're saying, I don't believe that that ever happened, and I don't believe that that power exists in my life for me to work in it and walk in it. But God is saying, no, this one's available to you if you would just walk in it and walk it in faith, believing that I've done it for you. So he says, helpless. The only thing that can change us is Christ within us. We can do all things, right, through Christ who gives us strength. That resurrection power can take that old list, right, that this bad fruit and redeem it and have it bear true fruit, fruit of the Spirit in our lives, fruit that lasts and fruit that's not rotten and stinky, right? Anybody have like an old piece of fruit? Like if you have a bag of oranges and you kind of forget them for a while and then eventually there's one in the bottom that kind of gets nasty, right? That's your bad fruit. And what happens with that bad fruit? How does it affect all the other ones? So we might think that we can have this little bitty, this bad fruit is hanging out there in the background, but the truth is that little bad fruit is going to affect all of this good thing. I think the Osmonds sang about this. Was it the Osmonds or Jackson 5? One bad apple can spoil the whole bunch, girl. Oh! Anyway, that was like in the 70s, right? Sorry. That was not in my notes. That was free. That one's free. Oh, we want fruit that has the very essence and aroma of Christ, not stinky and moldy and sour. And here's what we try to do. Which one is which now? We try so often to do both. We try to juggle the fruit, and because there's only two, right? It's very black and white. We have fruits of the flesh, we have fruits of the Spirit. There isn't like an acorn in there. No, we have these two fruits, and because there's only two, we look like we know what we're doing. Nate's probably thinking nothing of this sort with me and my juggling, but we can get good at it. I could be really good at this for a while. Walk around. Look at this. I'm just tossing these two fruit around like I'm a professional. But the truth is that God is not calling us to be jugglers. He wants us to live with one fruit and one fruit only. No matter how good you make it look, the truth is that you're always at risk of dropping one. Right? So I want to give you two concluding thoughts. Work in wisdom. This is the end of chapter 5. Work. And Paul writes, since this is the kind of life we have chosen, the life of the Spirit, let us make sure that we do not just hold it as an idea in our heads or a sentiment in our hearts, but work out. Say, work out. We're going to work out its implications in every detail of our lives. That means that faith, right? We're told that faith in James, faith without works is dead. So we need to work it out in our lives. Take this faith and actually make it do something, not just sit there with all this head knowledge of understanding what the gospel means and every passage, and I can cite every passage of scripture, but there's no fruit in my life. That's not what God is talking about. We don't want just head knowledge or something to make us feel good inside, but rather to make a difference in the world around us. I'm going to choose this as a good one now. This is a good fruit. As we multiply ourselves and multiply the fruit in our lives, we make a difference and influence positively in our community. The other one is wisdom. He goes on to say, that means we will not compare ourselves with each other as if one of us were better and another worse. We have far more interesting things to do with our lives because each of us is an original. And those of us in that the ladies' Bible thing, we understood that God loves us uniquely because we are originals. We are originals created in God's image. So we seek God's wisdom in all of this, right? Many things will come our way. We are presented lots of options and lots of choices in our lives. We need to seek the Lord to know which is ours to do and that which is our neighbor's to do. Not everything's for you to do. This keeps our eyes fixed on Jesus and not the others running the race with us. As it says, we have far more interesting things to do. And this is one of the things that I watch. Kelly had an awesome post the other day. Shouldn't Facebook be about lifting people up and not just airing all your garbage? And I'm amazed at the stuff that is on Facebook, this passive-aggressive stuff that goes out there where people are just complaining about it. They know who they're talking about, but they throw it all out there instead of actually having a one-on-one conversation with somebody and actually bearing true fruit in their lives of patience and understanding and love. Is it loving your neighbor to just complain publicly on Facebook? Oh, my word. We should not be about that. You are an original. You are an original, he says, and you need to walk in it. Anybody watching the Olympics? A little bit, maybe? It's kind of cool to watch these people work so, so hard to have 30 seconds on the worldwide stage. It really is amazing. So how do they get there? Training, hard work, focus, focus, focus. If they try to be good at everything, right? If I'm on the bobsled team and I think I'm going to throw on skis and join the downhill race, I'm probably very sorely mistaken. Neither one will be as Olympic caliber because I've taken my eyes off the true course that I'm supposed to be on and I'm trying to do too many things. Right? When we're trying to juggle too many things, we're trying to have a toe in the world and a toe in the spirit, we are juggling too many things, we don't have our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, and we lose our focus. And in so doing, we don't have the possibility of being all that God has called us to be because we've lost it. You got that video, Lib? Just take a watch of this. This is a Gillette commercial, so ignore the unabashed plug for Gillette. I don't use Gillette products. Sorry. But it was an awesome video, and I wanted... What was the last thing it said on there besides the Gillette logo? Perfect isn't pretty. But here's the truth. There's only one that was perfect. It says, like a lamb led to the slaughter. And so he did not open his mouth. We also know that he was beaten beyond recognition. And so our Savior was far from pretty. The grace that we talk about, this freedom that we celebrate, is not free. And it certainly didn't come from a pretty Savior. Stop juggling. You deserve more. He deserves more. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you, Lord, that you call us to live life in the spirit and not in the flesh. So God, all of these self-absorbed things that we do that get in the way, God, the things that we think that we need to do to make ourselves feel right and feel better, God, I pray, Lord, that those things would begin to fall off just as the scales came off of Paul's eyes and that he had this new life in the spirit through an encounter with you. And so, God, as we seek to live in the Spirit, I pray, God, that you enable us to do so, God, through your Holy Spirit living and dwelling in us, God, as we get off track, as we lose focus, as we try to do too much and have a toe in one and a toe in the other. God, I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would bring conviction on our lives so that we would walk according to the Spirit and that this life in the Spirit brings gifts, abundant gifts. This is not money, but God, this just incredible life of walking in victory with you. So God, be with us, Lord. And for anyone that's in this room and in the sound of my voice that has never taken that step to say yes to Jesus, I pray that today is that day, that they would understand that there is a life abundant, a life, he says, to the full, and that we don't have to struggle. And that through following you, God, you enable us to live this life in the Spirit. May we have ears to hear, eyes to see. May our hearts be open and our minds be open for all that you have for us today. And may we walk in the Spirit this day and every day. And I ask this in Jesus' mighty name. If you're in agreement with me, say amen. 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 So receive the benediction this morning. May you have all of God's fullness, and may you have the mind and the heart of Christ. May you be consistent in your commitment when you feel in touch and when you feel out of touch. Walk by faith and not by feeling, resting on his promise, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Praise God, and let God's peace dwell with you today and always. Amen. Go in peace.